my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like the flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbid to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace, unending love, amazing.
We talk about being thankful. We talk about Thanksgiving and all the many different things. But can you sing a song like that, or let it just pierce our hearts and our mind? And as we sing back to God, it's just to praise and worship Him. That amazing grace is something that, I don't know about y'all, but it just touches each and every nerve ending that I have. I just want to love the Lord. I'm so glad to see y'all here this morning. Let's continue that spirit of worship as we open up our service this morning, as we go forth and the many things that God has in store for us. But for right now, let's just turn all of our hearts and our mind, everything over to the Lord. Let's turn everything off. For those of you watching online, whether here live now or at a later date, just welcome to First Pentecostal in Villarica. I say that because I've actually talked to someone that didn't even know about our church, and they've seen it on this live feed, and I thank God for that. The opportunity that we have just to put forth His word. So let's all, if you can, let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and just want to continue. And you know, Thanksgiving is just not a certain Thursday or a certain weekend of the year. Being thankful to God is 365 days a year. That's the walk that we have. So we're going to go ahead and open up with prayer. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. I know y'all see the empty seats. We know the text blast has gone out for those that are sick, those that are suffering with whatever the situation is. And we got a group that's traveling also. And we just want the Lord just continue. Just remember each and every prayer request. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You. Dear Lord, we're thankful for you. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us, for this opportunity you've given us to gather in your house and in thy name. Dear Lord, we're thankful, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, we're thankful for your love for us, for that precious blood that was shed for each and every one of us, dear Lord. That moment, dear Lord, that you've given us just to turn our life over to you. Dear Lord, we're praying now for those that have not made that decision, dear Lord. They've not released their soul to you. And, dear Lord, we ask now that you'll just touch them, dear Lord. Let them find that altar of repentance, dear Lord, and turn that over and find that joy and peace that only you can provide. Lord, we're thankful that we can come to you, dear Lord, with our sick. Lord, with those that are ailing, those that are going through whatever situations in their life. That we got the testimonies of praise, dear Lord. We got testimonies of those that are just going through therapy now. Lord, they're recovering from surgeries, from procedures, those that are going in for tests. But, dear Lord, we know that your mighty hand has got each and every one. And, dear Lord, we're thankful for you. Lord, we give you this service this morning and this day and this hour. And, dear Lord, may we give you our whole life. Lord, we ask you to bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them. And, dear Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Jumping pages, I hadn't had a chance to tell them about the song this morning, but let's all just turn to page 130. I never shall forget the day. Y'all mic'd up good. Help me. Praise God. Let's all worship the Lord this morning. We're going to need all your help. Again, the choir's kind of a few missing. Some are, like I said, some are traveling. They're coming back to town today. Praise God. I never shall forget the day.
Jesus, and he gladly set me free.
all our faith, our prayers, and the mighty hands of God as we stand here in agreement. Praise God. Well, you can take a seat if you'd like. Just want to praise the Lord. We're going to have a couple of announcements and then take up our morning offering. As y'all, like we said, there are a lot of prayer requests going out, a lot of needs. Continue to be open to the Lord. Just if He places something or someone on your mind, just continue to pray and worship them. I know it's a very, like I said earlier, very thankful time. We had a wonderful class this morning, and I was able to be up here. But we want to keep Brother Chris and all the others that are recovering and just give God glory for what they're doing in their lives right now. So we get ready to take up our morning offering. We've got a note. I got another new announcement. It's the Children's Church will stay after church next Sunday, December 5th. I said this earlier, but it's hard to believe December is next week. December 5th, next Sunday, the Children's Church will stay after. They'll be going to Stars and Strikes for their Christmas party. And as this note says, hopefully they'll be back at the church around 4:30. So when I say hopefully, that's rounding them all up, getting them in the bus, right? Amen. We're just going to be in much prayer. Much prayer, not only for the kids to have a great Christmas party, but also for all the chaperones and the teachers. They put so much love into these little ones. May we continue to lift up each and every one that's involved in our children's lives. Sound like a great time. So parents, grandparents, just make plans on your kids that next Sunday the 5th, they'll be leaving after the morning service. So praise God. And there'll be more information given out in the class, but just hopefully they'll all it'll make it to your houses so you can keep up on it. But just if there's any questions, just let us know. Praise God. Any other announcements? Got anything on the Christmas you want to go ahead and update everybody?
Just to let you know, there is no practice this weekend because it's Thanksgiving weekend, but next weekend at 5, the puppets will be practicing. And we only have 2 more weeks before the actual program, so wow. The kids will be practicing Sunday evening. Is it the 12th?
No, 12th is a Sunday.
Uh-huh. Okay. The 12th they'll be practicing, and then Saturday the 18th, and I'll get you a time soon for that.
I'm really looking forward to it. Let's be in much prayer for all the activities and all the extracurricular things going on. Yes, ma'am. So what date is it?
It's on the
12th.
Right,
okay.
After
okay. Sounds great. So many things. All righty, we're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. Yes, Brother Jim, I'm sorry. I know you've got a big announcement. Sounds great. And that is wonderful, and this sets a busy weekend. I apologize for you watching online. We're going to make a point to get a mic out on the floor so when the announcements go forth, but that is the The ministry that will be singing at Ashbrook on the 11th. At what time to meet there?
9:30.
Be wonderful. It'll be just the one facility. And also another big announcement for the same weekend, December 12th. That evening, I believe it's at 6 p.m., we're having a multi-church service that will be held here. It's going to be with multiple churches to be gathering. It's going to be a time of fellowship, mostly worship, praise, and song, and ministering. But it's for a special situation. They're going to have a special offering taken up, a love offering. And all the funding, everything earned that night, will go into here locally with Shop with the Cop. So it'll be the night of December 12th, that Sunday evening at 6 p.m. So you're all invited. Invite other people. It's going to be multiple churches coming. I think last time I heard it was around 4. So it depends on how things work out. But anyway, that's also. So we're going to get all this. And I know they're going to write this down as quick as we can. Try to give it for the people online that's watching too. And we'll get going here. So, all right. Any other announcements? And we'll be a little more organized. I'll get a mic out on the floor for the next time. Thank you. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and take up the offering. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Luke. Come on up. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our morning offering, please?
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Talk about it. I've said it Sunday school this morning. It's being Thanksgiving weekend, but we were created to praise God and to worship Him through songs, through cymbals, through instruments, through harps. As Psalms 150 says, there's so many places, but we're giving Him His glory for His might, for His love. And if y'all would just join in with me as we sing this morning, How Great Thou Art, because my God is great. Yes, Lord. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul. And praise you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Where do I go when there's no one else to turn to? Who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock I know that's stable. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. When dear friend, I go to the rock. Where do I go when there's no one else to turn to? Who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock, I know it's stable. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Well, I don't know where you go, but I go to the rock. Amen. And I ain't talking Stone Mountain either. Amen. How many knows who the rock is? How many knows what that foundation is all about? The rock is Jesus Christ. And if you go to the rock, amen, you don't have to go but to one place. Amen. And Jesus has a way of making everything turn out just right. He's right for whatever's wrong in your life or in your heart. If you love the Lord this morning, let him know it. Give him a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we just want to get right into the Word of the Lord this morning. Thank God for the praise and worship this morning. Thank God that you came, amen, with a mind made up to worship and glorify, amen, the rock of our salvation. In the book of St. Luke this morning, I want to focus our attention on chapter number 19. St. Luke chapter number 19, verses 1 through 5. A very familiar story, one probably that most Sunday school students could recite and tell you everything about this wonderful little story. But this is where the Lord led me this week, and I pray that the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God will allow me, amen, to project what the Lord has placed in my heart and in my spirit this morning. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word found in the book of St. Luke, chapter number 19, verses 1 through 5. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. Say it again. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love you, how we thank you, how we praise and adore you. God, for your majesty, for your greatness, for your anointing presence. Father, we pray, God, that you would just anoint these lips of clay this morning. God, use this vessel, God, that you might get honor and glory. Father, I pray, God, that this word and this message will go forth this morning. God, that we will hear it not only with our ears, but with our hearts and with our spirit. God, I pray, Lord, that you would put an urgency in our life, God, to be pleasing unto you, to seek and save those that are lost. Father, we do remember there's so many that are sick and afflicted today, and we know that you're a healing God, and we pray right now that you would minister to each and every need. Have your way in this service, and we'll look to you, Lord, giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more hand clap for Jesus, and you may be seated. I just feel like something good is about to happen. That's a song, but I feel it in my spirit. I told someone this morning, whenever there is adversity, whenever there seemingly is trouble and disturbance all around, God likes to move. Man, well, really, God likes to move any and all times. Sometimes we're not in the frame of mind of allowing and believing God to move. Sometimes it takes tragedy. Sometimes it takes sorrow and grief for us to really focus in on who and where we receive our power from. And that, as I look around and see through eyes of natural eyes, I also am seeing through spiritual eyes to believe that God is about to do something mighty in this world. I believe that because churches are praying, Bible believers are praying, looking for a move of God. Now, having said all of that, that really has nothing to do with the message that I have. I just felt like saying that this morning. The message title that I have has been on my mind for about, I don't know, it's a week and a half, I guess. And I don't know why this story came to my mind. I was reading in the book of St. Luke and read across it and didn't pay a whole lot of attention. But as I was going from day to day doing my daily routines and things, the Lord kept reminding me of the story of little Zacchaeus. And he reminded me that there's several parallels in this story to the road to salvation. How many is thankful that God opened your eyes to the road of salvation? Oh, if we needed a revival today, it is God opened the blinded eyes of the world so they might see that Jesus is the only answer. Oh, I wish and pray every day that souls will be won to Christ. So I went back and I read it again and I began to see some very key points this morning that I hope I will somehow be able to convey to you. First of all, the location of where this took place. I want to remind us, the Lord Jesus was on his way into Jericho. And I ask you to repeat Jericho, because I wanted you to remember, know that this was the location where this took place. And upon entering the gates of Jericho, there was a blind man sitting by the highway begging alms from those who passed in. When he heard that Jesus was coming by, you all know, he began to shout, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus did, and he called for him, and he healed him, and opened his eyes immediately. Now, before cell phones, before text blast, before Twitters and TikTok, and all of the other avenues of information that we have available today, I will assure you that news spread very, very fast in Jericho that a miracle had just been performed on the outskirts of the city. This man, Jesus, was able to heal blind Bartimaeus. You all know him from the streets of Jericho. And the Lord healed him, and now he has his eyesight. And he's coming into our city. So a great crowd began to come and find Jesus and begin to press upon him. Now, this is where our story begins this morning. First of all, I ask you to recite or repeat the word Jericho. Many remembers in the old Bible that Jericho was walled up, but the walls came tumbling down. If we want to really see a move of God, and we've been introduced to it, we know what God can do. I don't have any doubters in this congregation this morning, do I? Amen. Just take a deep breath and you'll believe in God. Amen. Because he is the one that gives us breath. Amen. Glory to God. I believe there's no doubters in the house this morning. But I want to assure you, when the walls come down, there's going to be healing. When the walls come down, there's going to be salvation. When the walls come down, there's going to be deliverance. There's going to be victory. We need to pray, God, break the walls. Break the barriers today so that people may see and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this took place in Jericho, where you could come and go as you pleased. That was not always the case. Jesus began to walk the very streets that were once walled up. Oh, somebody didn't hear me. I said, Jesus began to walk freely where there once was walls around the city. He can come right in because the walls have been torn down. And as the crowd began to amass to surround Jesus just to see him, to touch him, who is this man? This healer. Some call him a prophet. Some call him master. Some call him the Son of God. And there was a little man, and I say that not meaning that necessarily he was little of stature, even though the Bible said that he was, but sometimes the devil, the adversary, and we need to know that he's still working. I said he's still working. He's still moving. He's still deceiving. He's still lying. Don't ever expect him to tell you the truth. He doesn't even know the truth. But he will let you think that you are so small and so insignificant and so unnecessary. My mother had a saying one time. When she was feeling kind of low, she said, I just feel so unnecessary. And, you know, then we had to remind her, no, mother, you know, we depend on you for all of this. You know, you got to cook for us. You got to iron for us, you know. And she said, that's kind of what I'm talking about. I feel like a maid. But the adversary will demean you. He wants to keep you pressed down. He wants to keep you burdened. He wants to keep you one of low degree. No self-confidence. No faith. No eyes of faith to looking and believing on Jesus Christ. You're just a nobody. Nobody cares whether you come to church or not. Nobody cares whether the church loves you or not. They don't love you. That's exactly the lie that the adversary wants you to believe. So little Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see him. But there were obstacles in his way. But the little man did not give up. Persistency pays off. Persistency pays off when we seek God. The God that I serve is able to do immediately what we seek or ask. But you know as well as I do, he doesn't always choose to do immediately. Sometimes I think that he wants to see what a desire we have to search him and to seek him and to really put our faith and trust in him. And persistency pays off. You remember the prophet when he sent his servant, go look, see if there's a sign. There wasn't anything. He kept going back and going back and going back 7 times. Finally, amen, persistency pays off. So he pushed and he shoved and he tried to get his way through the crowd, but for the life of him, he could not get a full view of Jesus. That is such a type and shadow of people today. Have a desire, but they really can't see Jesus in the fullness. They see parts of him. They remember in Sunday school and vacation Bible school, somebody taught him about Jesus. Sometimes if you ask the people if they know Jesus, they'll point to a painting or a drawing on the wall and say, yeah, that's Jesus. But those who have seen Jesus in his fullness, have I got any believers in the house? Have I got any born-again Christians in the house? Blood-washed saints of God looking for a better place. Amen. Those of us who have fully seen Jesus, we know that there is nothing else in this world that can ever compare to the fullness of Christ. Amen. Walking in his spirit, walking in a brand new life. But for some reason, Zacchaeus couldn't see all of Jesus. So he had a plan. Couldn't move the crowd because the crowd was kind of shoving him out. Just like the world will kind of shove you out. Don't really care about you.
So the Bible says he ran to the sycamore tree. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Now that seems pretty odd for a grown man to be climbing a tree. Now, when I was young, I never found a tree that I didn't want to climb. I looked at it as a challenge. I was one that, you know, the limbs were high up. If I could ever get to that first limb, I knew I could make it to the top. Y'all looking at me like, what are you talking about? There's a message right there. Sometimes we give up before we can get to that first limb. But if you can ever get to that, I knew if I could get a handhold on that first limb, I could swing up like a monkey then. I know I look like one now, but then I really could climb like one. And I could swing up and get my leg on that limb. I knew when I got that first limb, I was going all the way to the top. Some of us still reaching for the first limb. Zacchaeus somehow was able to get up into the tree, and he was able to look over the crowd and see Jesus. Are you with me? But Jesus had a very different idea. You see, Jesus saw Zacchaeus all the time. Punch your neighbor and wake him up. I said, Jesus saw Zacchaeus all along. Zacchaeus only could see a little bit of Jesus, but Jesus saw every bit of Zacchaeus. He didn't have to climb the tree for Jesus to see Zacchaeus. Let me tell you something. Folks, you need to know and understand that Jesus has always been watching out for you. He's always had his eyes on you, and he wants you to be a believer. He wants you to be a part of the body of Christ. The Bible tells me soon as he climbed up the tree, Jesus walked over to the tree. He looks up, and he says, when Jesus came to the place, what place? The place where Zacchaeus was. He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, that's exactly where you need to be, little buddy. You need to be up there hiding from Almighty. You need to be up there thinking you better than everybody else. You need to be up there thinking it's all about you. No. Jesus said, come down. Woo. When the Lord laid that on my heart, I had to come down spiritually. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord can't use you when you're up a tree. The Lord can't use you when you're high and mighty. The Lord can't use you when you think it's all about you and not about him. He's not going to deliver you. He's not going to bless you until you're humble enough to get down off of your high horse, come down out of the top of the tree, get on your hands and knees before an almighty God, confess your sin. Hallelujah. Repent. Ask him to come into your life. Hallelujah. Zacchaeus, get down. Come down. You high and mighty, whatever you are, come down. Quit thinking it's all about you. It's all about him and what he did. And what he wants to do for you. Let's look at some facts here. Not facts that I came up with, but facts that are in the Word of God. If you want facts, they're found in the Word of God. Many people are looking for opinions rather than facts. Many people will go to the wrong person to find out, what must I do to be saved, when the Bible explicitly tells us. My message to you this morning is, first of all, you got to come down. You got to come down. If you really, really, really want to be humble down, the Lord spoke to me years and years ago. I was out in the yard seeking for a message. And I'd prayed and I'd read, and I was walking around in the yard and started picking up a few rocks. It's at the other house where we lived, and I was going to do some landscaping and later on. I do a lot of things later on. I wasn't in the mind to do it right then. But I began to pick these rocks up and throw them down in the edge of the yard. And I looked on my hands, and something you find a lot of in Georgia is red clay. And it will color your hands a little bit. It'll stick to it. And I looked at that, and I started to wipe them off, and it's just like God spoke to me and said, that's all you are. You ain't nothing more than that clay without my spirit. You know, the Bible says he formed and fashioned us out of the dust of the earth. We were nothing. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't think. We couldn't talk. We couldn't make decisions. We couldn't do anything at all until he breathed his breath of life into us. And a lot of people never thank him for that breath of life. They just go on doing their thing. Amen. So I want to tell you some facts this morning that I see. First of all, we got to realize who we are. Man, we're nothing without Jesus. But let's look at what we found in the Word of God. The Bible says he sought to see Jesus. The word there that stands out to me is sought. Many times we don't like to seek things. We want them immediately at our hand. I don't like to look for things. And I got to where I have to look for things all the time. One other person has to do it too, I guess, the one that just laughed. Oh, amen, brother, I do too. Because I forget where I put them. You know, I drink a cup of coffee, and I'll go walk into Kevin's room, and then I hump my cup of coffee. I don't like to seek things unless it's seeking the deep things of God. Listen, the Bible is not meant to scratch the very surface of. It is meant to dig into the Word of God. If you're having trouble understanding the Word of God, if you're having problems discerning the Word of God, may I suggest a very small thing that you can do. Read the verses preceding and read the verses following and tie it together. Don't just hunt you a verse that makes you feel good. Sometimes the Lord wants to strengthen you, and strengthening sometimes is not a pleasant situation. Seek the Word of God. Seek and you shall find. Amen. Search out the Scriptures. In the Scriptures you'll find salvation. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus. The first fact I want you to remember is desire. I don't believe that we'll ever get to the fullness of Christ unless we have a heartfelt desire. Heartfelt desire is not just, well, that's something I'd like to put on my bucket list. Listen, my bucket's so full of junk. I've had all kinds of things on my bucket list. But one thing I know that's got to supersede everything else is my desire to seek Him. I have a desire. Thank God for that desire. If you have a desire, you ought to thank God every day for that desire. Because I'm going to be real honest with you. Everybody hadn't got that desire. Man, some just kind of occasionally. But when you got a desire, you're sold out to Christ. It's all about Him. My life, everything that I have, I attribute that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, I'm nothing. But through Him, I can do all things. So Zacchaeus didn't give up when he was trying to see Jesus because he had a desire to see him. So much so that he didn't give up when he couldn't see him. He goes and finds a tree. He begins to climb the tree to see Jesus. The second fact that I want you to remember about this story is that he was restricted or prevented from seeing Jesus. Now, in this case, it was the crowd. Now, I'm not saying the crowd was demonic. The crowd was just as anxious to see Jesus as Zacchaeus was. But I will tell you this. The adversary will put things in your way to hide your view, your spiritual view, from seeing Jesus. It may come through job obligations. It may come through financial matters. It may come through sickness or affliction. It may come through the mere fact of being embarrassed to proclaim that you are a born-again Christian. Because it's not politically correct. And it doesn't set well with a large number of people today. Can I just tell you, have that mindset that Zacchaeus did. When the crowd or the press prevented him, he sought another way. He found another avenue to Christ Jesus. Amen. You need that persistency. The third thing that I want to tell you, and this is a fact, the Bible states this, that he was little of stature. An excellent excuse to give up. And let me tell you, the adversary loves to give you an excuse to give up, to not seek God, to not live for God, to not be sold out 100% to God. But he took that disadvantage and he turned it into an advantage. He climbed a little higher. Maybe you're born again. Maybe you're dedicated. Maybe you're committed. But spiritually, could you climb a little higher? Could you get just a little closer? Could you get just a little more determined to put God first in your life and everything else secondarily? Talking to the church now. Talking to myself now. So many times we let small things impede our vision of looking at Christ in the fullness. But he climbed up a tree because he was little of stature. Some would have walked away, said, "He don't care anything about me." Some would walk away and say, "You know what? Nobody in the church even spoke to me." And the devil wants to make you feel so little, so small, and so insignificant. But let me tell you, Jesus had his eyes on Zacchaeus all the time. And he has his eyes on you and me all the time. Fourth fact was, he was the chief or a chief tax collector. He was not a popular person. In fact, he was despised and hated by most. Written off by many. I know this church of believers have never had that mindset of, "Well, you might as well just give up on old so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They're so mixed up in the world. They're so far gone." Tell you something. Jesus sees them even when the church don't. Jesus loves them even when the church gives up. Thank God he didn't give up on me. He sees your life. He knows your life. And you know what? He knows what you've done. But he loves you anyway. What grace and mercy that is extended by Jesus Christ himself. Well, that old chief tax collector, that old publican, he deserves what he gets. Push him out of here. Get him out of here. We don't want him to be a part of that. Oh, we're not like that. Church, don't ever turn up your nose at who walks in that door back there. Who comes in, they're just as welcome as I am. They're just as welcome as anybody. This is not my church. This is not our church. This is a church of the bound again believers. This church belongs to Jesus. And everybody who comes in those doors are welcome. Amen. We love them. Jesus loves them. We want and desire them to be a part of the body of Christ. We've looked at the desire. He sought to see Jesus. We looked that he was restricted and that he was prevented, but somehow he found a way. I will assure you, somehow, if you're persistent, you'll find a way. Even when the door is locked, right? We'll find a way to get in, even when we can't find a key. And those of you who were here early this morning know exactly what I'm talking about, but persistency paid off and we got in the locked door. Somebody said, "Praise the Lord." Because that was my office, it was locked. "Brother, you don't have a key to it?" "No." I didn't ever lock it. It just got locked. Thirdly, he was little and small of stature. The fourth thing that we just covered, he was a chief tax collector, hated and despised by most people. People today use that excuse why they don't go to church. "They don't care anything about me. They don't like me." You know, let me tell you something. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. That's not just a song. He does love you. And fifth fact, probably the most important fact of the five that I have addressed this morning, and this is not me saying this, because I don't like to say this. I think that God will prick our heart or convict us. But the Word said he was a sinner. Isn't that what your Word says? I believe it's in verse 9. Was that 9 or 10? In one of the verses there before. It's there, believe me. That's what most people, just look it up. You know the thing. Okay. He was, in fact, a sinner. If you're trying to convince the Lord that you're good enough, you're kind of a straight arrow, you're dedicated, you're committed, you're a good family man, you're a good family woman, you're a good mother, you're a good dad, you're a good son, you're a good daughter, you're a good citizen. You'll never convince the Lord to allow you into heaven on your merits or your goodness. You remember what Jesus said, none good but the Lord. None good but him. Now, the goodness part, keep it up. Don't quit being good just because you get saved. But let your goodness reach out to others. Let it be a product of your salvation, not a means to your salvation. Does that need to be said again? Let it be a product or a byproduct of your salvation, not a means to salvation. Because when you come to Jesus, you must confess, I am a sinner. I am lost without you. Through all of my goodness, through all of my merits, I understand, Lord, that without your precious shed blood, I could never make heaven my home. And then that way, the desire, the restrictiveness of the crowd, the fact that nobody loves you, and the fact that you're even small and insignificant matters nothing whatsoever to Jesus. When you confess to him with your heart and you open up your heart door and invite him as Lord and Savior, then you begin to walk in a brand new life. He was a sinner. This whole story took on a new light for me. To me, I see a plan. To me, I see a type and shadow of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come just to save certain people. He didn't come just to some particular nationality. Doesn't care if you're rich. Doesn't care really that you don't have anything. Because when you have him, you have everything. Christ will supply your needs. Time would not allow me to testify to you about so many people have told me that they have struggled through their life trying to make ends meet, trying to get ahead, trying to do those things that we think gives us financial security in this world, making good money, but seemingly not able to get ahead in life. And then finally, they were convicted by the power and the Spirit of God. Man, the Lord began to love them. Conviction's not a bad thing. That just means the Lord is loving you and he's calling you. And then when they answered that call and realized that they were lost, realized that they were a sinner, and came to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, you know what? My life is a mess. Doesn't matter how many times I try to straighten it out, everything gets turned upside down. I need you to come into my life. I'm lost without you. Lord Jesus, come in and be the Lord of my life. And when they get born again and salvation comes into their house, which is their spirit, their natural body, their spirit comes in and takes up abode, they will testify, you know what, brother? Things just begin to be straightened out. It's amazing. I really can't put my hand on it. I'm not doing anything indifferent except Jesus is right where he needs to be. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These other things will be added to you. When I see this, I see a type and shadow of our coming to Jesus. If you don't remember anything else that I've said, remember the two words of the title, come down. Come down from your mountain. Come down from your high place. Come down from your thinking that you can do all things, that I'm a good person. And if I'm a good person, I'll be able to go to heaven. It's more than that. There is a road to salvation, and this is a type and shadow. Humble yourself and repent. Do not have the Fonzie syndrome. And I may be speaking to a certain generation. The Happy Day series, Fonzie, Henry Winkler, could not say that he was sorry. It just wasn't in his mindset. It wasn't. He thought it made him come down a little bit. And he would struggle with saying, I'm wrong or I'm sorry. You can't have that mindset and come to Christ. Maybe you are a good person. Maybe you are as moral a person as you possibly can be. But without Jesus Christ, we're still lost. And we must come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm nothing. I'm just a sinner. But you know, my Bible tells me and the preacher told me that you died for people like me. Because when you were on the cross, people like me were on your heart and on your mind. And because of that, Lord Jesus, I can be a part of the body of Christ. I can be a part of your heavenly kingdom, regardless of my past, regardless of my record. Come on, somebody. Regardless of the things that I've done. Lord, if I come to you humbly, if I come to you with a broken, contrite spirit and a repentant heart, the Bible tells me and the preacher tells me that you'll forgive me and you'll come into my life. Do I have anybody to believe that this morning? To know that if we have that desire, that Jesus will come to us. There's also something that we must do. Zacchaeus made haste and came down. Do not procrastinate. Do not put it off. I've heard so many people, Brother Eddie, when I get my life straight, I'm going to get in church. And I tell them as humbly as I possibly could, you're not going to get your life straight. Amen. And you're not going to get your life straight just getting in church. You can come sit in church and tell you'll be just as lost as anything. But when your life gets straight is when you come and you give it all to Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. Every sin, everything, every infraction that you've ever done. Zacchaeus came down and received him joyfully. And listen, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to the guest with a man that is a sinner. Look who's going to church. Don't expect your sinful friends to be excited when you tell them you've been born again. You know why? Because it makes them feel bad. Makes them feel convicted. Glory to God. Because they see a difference in you. When they saw it, they began to murmur. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. Now listen, Jesus didn't ask him to do anything except come down. Isn't that what you read? But Zacchaeus said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Now Zacchaeus wouldn't have done that before. When he's up in the tree, he wasn't going to suddenly give all half of his stuff back to the... But when salvation came to his house, and he said, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Is that Zacchaeus? Is that the same man that was always on me to pay my taxes and always belittling me? Yeah, that's the same man, but there's somebody new living in that house. Come on down, Zacchaeus. Hallelujah. And this is what I love. I'm going to leave you with verse 10, 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him. When the Bible says, and Jesus said, pay very close attention, because these are the words of Christ. This day, everybody say, this day, is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, he was not only Hebrew, but he was in fact a direct descendant of Abraham. Moms and dads and granddads, you're going to love this. God made a promise to Abraham. Remember, I'll bless you and I'll bless your seed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want your grandchildren, your children to be saved? Hallelujah. Dedicate your life fully unto God. You want to raise your children in the fear and admonition of God? Be saved yourself. Be faithful. Be committed to the Lord. Amen. And God will bless you. And not only bless you, He'll bless your seed. He'll bless those around you. He'll bless you going out. He'll bless you coming in. Hallelujah. He'll bless you so much, you'll just say, Lord, I don't even deserve all of this. But I'm mighty thankful for it. Then listen what he says. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save only those who are up a tree. No, to seek and to save that which was lost. There's not a one of us today born again, filled with the Spirit of the Lord, who can't identify with Zacchaeus. Because without Jesus, we're just as lost as we could be. Amen. But I'm so glad that I have something in me this morning. That is the Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. To let me know that I'm a born-again Christian. Hallelujah. The DNA is undeniable. Hallelujah. Whether you realize it or not, when you came to Jesus and He filled you with His Spirit, there was a blood transfusion that took place. You didn't even have to go under. You didn't have to have the anesthesiologist come and put you out. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ has been applied. Washed those nasty, filthy, dirty, sinful ways out of our life. And when He does, then we must walk in a new life. Discount and put those things to the past. They're the past. Listen. Satan will keep reminding you. I guarantee you they reminded Zacchaeus every day. You're nothing but an old sinner. You're an old tax collector. Except by the blood of Jesus Christ. And except by the blood of Jesus Christ today, not a one of us would be able to lift our hands and say, I'm a part of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, would you stand? Every eye closed. Nobody knows your life any better than Jesus. You're saying, well, Brother Eddie, I just can't find Him. I can't say. He's looking at you and seeing you right now. And if you have not made Him both Lord and Savior of your life, I don't know a better time than right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. While we all just pray, saints of God, get a hold of the Lord right now. Is there one that would come forth this morning? Don't let the crowd keep you from seeing Jesus. Doesn't matter about the crowd. This is between you and the Lord. Doesn't matter what people think. Certainly does not matter what people say. If you're not right and you know that things are not right in your life right now, why don't you bring it to the altar? Confess your sin before God. You don't have to tell me. It's none of my business. My business is to see you born again. My business is to see you healed. My business is to see you a part of the body of Christ. While these are coming, if you need something from the Lord this morning, would you gather around this altar?
get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger, and whatever troubles me, sometimes to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Hallelujah. Sometimes it takes to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger, and whatever troubles me, sometimes to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus. I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. Oh, but admit has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord. I'm not ashamed to say, oh, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a trial. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and
powerful words God has placed for each and every one of us. As we receive, as we prepare to depart, don't just think it's just for here. This is for our journey in life as we go forward. So get ready to go out those doors. All hearts and minds clear. God is gracious. So good to have y'all with us this morning, those watching online. Know that if you have a prayer request, just put it in the comment section. We'll pray with you, because we're going to call on the name of Jesus and place it into His mighty hands. Love each and every one of you. Wonderful time. I'm going to invite each and all of you, each and every one of you, back for service this evening. Make plans to come back if at all possible. We love you. All right. With this prayer, then, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we call on your name. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this service this morning, for your word. Dear Lord, for your ministry, for your answering prayers. Dear Lord, for you healing, comforting, and protecting and providing. Dear Lord, we know that you see deep in our heart and our spirit and our soul more than we even admit and that we know. Lord, we're thanking you for giving us this time. Dear Lord, for those watching online, we ask you just to bless each and every one. May they feel your holy presence. Again, dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. And dear Lord, also, as we spoke earlier in service, we want to remember our children's church and all the leaders. Dear Lord, you've blessed us so much with our families and our loved ones and these kids. Lord, we ask you just to guide them and direct them. May we be examples they can follow, and may you fill our presence. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. See y'all this evening.